You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, you are listening to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast where we've got racing at Ayr and Worcester in the afternoon, Windsor and Ripon in the evening and an Irish meeting from Roscommon. And you'll hear every race live from 1:55pm on William Hill Racing Radio with Sean Quinn, John Babb and Andy Holding in the studio. But for now, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on the podcast to look at four contests on Monday is Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm very well, thanks, Sam.
Good. There's only one real starting point for our podcast today. On Saturday, Golden Horn made racing history by winning the Dante, the Derby and the Eclipse all in one season. And the first to win the Derby and the Eclipse since 2009. Don't know what you made of the race, Rory, but I thought it was a really well-run race as well.
It was. There was a worry with a small field that it could turn tactical. We didn't know who was going to go on. Frankie had said beforehand that if there was no early pace, he'd be happy to take it up. There are a few thinking that might have been a bit of a bluff on Frankie's part just to make sure that something else did go on. And Oshin Murphy, who wrote Tullius, said that he would make the pace and then drop that one out in last. And it could have turned very messy. But Frankie was true to his word, set a solid tempo on Golden Horn. To be honest, looked like he might be in trouble. He was off the bridle before the Grey Gatsby. And we know that the Grey Gatsby is a pretty tough nut to crack. And with two furlongs to go, if you stopped the race, you'd have marginally called that in favour of the Grey. Despite the fact that he was given £11 away. But Golden Horn dug deep, found more and pulled away in the end for an impressive win. I thought it was a really good race. Often these small field races for Group 1s can lack a bit of interest for betting purposes, but it served up a real treat.
Yes, it was very good to see. And now for Golden Horn, does he have a break? Where does he send him next?
I think he goes to the King George. I think that was Anthony Oppenheimer was asked about this this morning and said that as long as he come out of the race well and John Gosden was happy with him, he would go for the King George. So Mr. Oppenheimer very much belonging to an old band of owners. Indeed, if you go take the sport back 30, 40 years, there are a lot more owner breeders in the game than there are now. And the traditional way of campaigning your top class 3 year old, if they were a Derby horse, was go Eclipse, then go King George, and then worry about the rest of the season after that. Now we're more obsessed with the big prizes towards the end of the season, autumn targets and international races around the world. But Anthony Oppenheimer more than happy to stick with a traditional route and go for the King George, which is great to see.
Yeah, it is really good, and so much for it being a weak Derby as well this year.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Essentially, what you've had is, again, Gosden's one of those trainers who is happy to give his horses the time they need. And he's had some absolutely top-class horses in the last 10, 12 years who have given no indication in the height of the two-year-old season that they even exist sometimes. A lot of his horses not making their debuts until, as we saw with the Derby runner-up, Jack Hobbs made his debut on the 27th, 28th of December. And Golden Horn has very gradually come through the ranks. But, you know, you've got to do what's right by the horse. And we tend to expect Derby favourites to be running at Newmarket in October to have sort of stamped their seal on the two-year-old season. But you've got to take the horses as they come, and John Gosden's done that very well. He won the St. Ledger a few years ago with Lucarno, who hadn't been seen until early in the three-year-old campaign, and progressed all the way through the season. He's doing the same thing with both Jack Hobbs and Golden Horn. So although if you try to look at the Derby through the two-year-old ratings last season, you'd have been scratching your head a little bit and looking for decent horses. They've come from left field, but they're very, very good horses.
Yeah, absolutely. And worth mentioning, again, the second in that race. It takes at least two to make a horse race, and the Grey Gatsby, again, was very admirable.
Absolutely. He's a horse who still doesn't really get the credit he deserves. And, of course, despite serving up that decent race, because Golden Horn went on to win by more than a length or so, The runner-up has rather been forgotten about, but they pulled a long way clear of the third, and the Grey Gatsby threw down a really stern challenge to Golden Horn, forced him off the bridle, made him dig deeper than he had to in the Derby to produce the result. And, you know, great horses make great races, and the Grey Gatsby deserves an awful lot of credit just for providing that test that Golden Horn needed to show that he was, you know, well above average in terms of Derby winners, and that's all we can ask. And again, you know, he's a horse who's won multiple Group 1 races himself, French Derby winner and Irish Champions Stakes winner last year, and still doesn't quite feature so highly in the public consciousness. I do hope he goes on to win more big races. Kevin Ryan's team has been slow to come to hand this season, but decent results over the weekend, including with the Grey Gatsby, a couple of winners elsewhere, suggesting that that yard is now beginning to hit form, and hopefully his stable star can overcome a run of bad luck, and maybe the International at York, which would suit him. Yeah. Irish champion again. He deserves to take in those prizes, and if he can win one more, then maybe the public will finally enjoy him for what he is.
Yeah, it's something that Kevin Ryan's mentioned a lot before, isn't it? That he doesn't get the sort of plaudits that he perhaps deserves. We had good racing, of course, away from the Eclipse yesterday as well. Sandown, and we had the Lancashire Oaks as well. What caught your eye?
The Lancashire Oaks was much of a muchness for me, to be honest. And again, the Sandown card you had—it's turned into a very good card there at Sandown, with a number of decent races to back up the Eclipse itself. The sprint race was the most interesting on the card, but again, it lost a little bit with the non-runners, particularly Mecca's Angel, but it did provide us with a very exciting finish. And Wadi, again, going, what's he, 4 from 4 over course and distance now, is pretty impressive for a pattern performer to have that kind of record at Sandown. Had to overcome difficulties in running. There was a little bit of a sting in the tail as well with Oshin Murphy, who rode the runner-up, Windfire, forcing his way through a gap late in the day and getting a nine-day ban. Which is looks pretty harsh on the face of it, although we didn't have the benefit of head-on pitchers here afterwards, but a few emailers suggest that he was hard done by there.
I thought so. When I watched the race back, I wasn't... A 9-day ban seemed a little bit excessive, I think.
Yeah, given Ryan Moore did something similar at Royal Ascot and the stewards turned a complete blind eye to it. It's nice to see a rider like Oshin Murphy so hungry for winners. When we're looking at senior jockeys, sometimes you get scenarios like that where a jockey just says, well, I'm not going to get through here, so I'll just drop my hands. And if you remember if you're very old and you remember Lester Piggott as a young man, for example, or Pat Edry, as a young man, again, the pair of them were very similar. They would go for any gap that appeared. Pat Edry's nickname was Polyfiller because of the number of awkward gaps he tried to force himself into. But that was all about hunger for riding winners, and it's really nice to see young jockeys who are not obsessed, again, young sportsmen who are not obsessed with the trappings of fame, but are more obsessed with wanting to have winners. We've lost Tony McCoy from the scene. You know, that's what he was all about as a jump jockey. Just that hunger for riding winners, that's the only thing that mattered. And we don't have that many with that kind of attitude at the moment. And Oshin Murphy is a lad who's coming through, obviously had a stellar time as an apprentice. Very difficult time for him at the moment. He's got a decent retainer, but he's always a sort of second jockey. He's not going to get the... he's going to have to force himself into positions as a rider to be noticed now.
Yeah.
Now that the claim isn't there and he's riding a lot of leftovers. He's riding very well at the moment. He's caught the eye in the last couple of weeks. He's developing quite a lot as a jockey, but obviously he's fallen out of consciousness a little bit because of his position. So he needs to be that jockey who's there, hungry to pick up all the scraps, hungry to pick up the wins where he can. And even though he's picked up a ban there yesterday, that's almost highlighting the fact that he could just be the coming man still.
Yeah. Okay then. Right, that about wraps up Saturday's action. We'll turn our attention then to Monday. We've picked out four races from four different venues to take a look at on Monday. And we'll start with Worcester's 250. This one is a 2.5 mile handicap chase. Five of them will take their chance in this Class 3 event. Who stood out to you, Rory?
None of them stand out. And this is the issue with this race is you've got a number of talented horses here. It's not a bad race in terms of ability. Most of the field are actually a fair bit better than their handicap marks, which makes it sound like a really exciting race, and these are horses going forward.
Yeah.
But their horses are better than handicap marks, but they have problems which stops them living up to their billing that often. You've got, from the top, Falcara has long looked like he might be a star for Tim Vaughan, but he's been held back by bleeding in his races. So he should stay 3 miles very well, but he's the kind of horse who needs to do things on the bridle and probably ends up being best using his speed over shorter trips because he does have a problem breaking blood vessels. Foundation Man has got a terrific pedigree. He's a full brother to Captain Chris out of Function Dream, who herself won a won graded races at 2 and 3 miles. But he has, like a lot of big horses, very impressive looker, but he's got wind problems. So his overall record doesn't read particularly well. He did win first time out last season, but then it failed to complete in his next three starts, and that's an ongoing issue for him. Mr. Moss was a decent chaser 2 seasons ago, but he's run appallingly in 2 runs back from a long break, suggesting that he's developed wind problems as well. He stopped very quickly in 2 runs. So it may be that Evan Williams is bringing him along very slowly. But it looks, again, it's not hugely surprising given his pedigrees out of a strong gale mare, and strong gales have a reputation of having wind problems. Valley of Milan comes from a yard that is really struggling. Donald McKeon, 2 or 3 years ago, people were predicting that he would sort of break the Paul Nicholls, David Pipe monopoly. But it hasn't really worked out for him. And although he still gets a fair number of winners, he's got a big yard. His strike rate in recent times has been very poor. He's had, of his last 50 runners, only 2 have won. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them running poorly at shortish prices as well. So it's difficult to touch one from the McKeon yard. And again, Valley Milan's got this very up and down record, like a lot of horses from his stable. And then you've got Mario Desange, who you almost come to by default. David Noonan rides for Anthony Honeyball. She finds winning difficult, but she does usually run her race. She's a little bit of a sketchy jumper over fences, but she's sound enough, and she tends to give her running, and she might end up winning this by taking advantage of the feelings of the others in the race. Slight worry with the Honeyball yard, normally extremely reliable, high percentage yard, but 2 of his last 3 runners have pulled up, which is unusual, and both of them quite well fancied as well. So there might be a little bit of an issue in the Honeyball yard as well. So you're dealing with a lot of negatives rather than a lot of positives here, and working out who will escape unscathed. Yeah. And that's the difficult thing about the race. Almost by default, I come to Mario Desange, but if either Falcara or Foundation Man can give their running without that bleeding issue or the breathing issue coming into play, they're the class acts in the race. I do like Foundation Man as a horse, but as I said, he always seems to be let down by that, and I'm not sure that there's enough in him to give you confidence. I'd love to see him win because he's such a gorgeous picker. Yeah. But unfortunately, if you're afflicted by a wind problem, that makes it difficult for you. So we are strictly by default going for Mario Desange.
Okay, then Mario Desange, then the bottom weight in that 250. We'll go over to Air for the next race on the podcast. This is their 505. It's 5 furlong handicap sprint, this one. 14 of them down to go to post for it. Ruth Carr won this race last year, and you'd expect that her charge this year, Lexington Place, could be quite a warm order.
Yeah, he might well be. The only issue with Lexington Place here is that he's drawn in stall 1. We've got a meeting at Air this afternoon. By the time this goes out, we'll know how it's panned out there. But unfortunately, I'm going in a little bit blind here. I expect high numbers to dominate over 5 and 6 furlongs at Ayr over the next couple of days. And Lexington Place drawn stall 1 is not the ideal place to be. But he doesn't want to go forward from stall 1. He's a hold-up horse anyway. He wants a strong pace to run at, and he will tuck in behind them. So I don't think it matters that much for him more than it would for a horse who wants to race handily, because if you're going to be dropped out from his position, you can come with a run wherever the race develops. So I think he might be able to overcome that. It's a race where if you showed me the race without the distance, I would swear it was a 6 furlong race, because it's absolutely full of 6 furlong horses and not many of these regularly running at 5. But Lexington Place is the archetypal 5 furlong horse in the race. You might be slightly concerned about the fact that he's got a very good strike rate on fast ground, as indeed did his sire, Compton Place, and does produce a lot of fast ground horses. But he does have comparable form on a slightly slower surface. And again, we're guessing a little bit with the ground at Ayr, because he had a bit of rain overnight going into Sunday. The going is on the soft side of good. Whether it dries out again by Monday is another slight question mark. But I think Lexington Place will get away with it. And it's very interesting to hear Ruth Carr talk about him. He runs in the colours of her late grandfather, David Chapman, who was a genius at training five furlong horses. And once he won at Nottingham, she said, we think he can run up a sequence, which he's already done winning three races. But I think when Ruth Carr says he can run up a sequence, she thinks she's going back to the days of the likes of Glenn Croft and Chaplin's Club, who were capable of winning 7-8 handicaps in a season. And this horse is more than capable of developing through the ranks. He's the class act in this race in terms of recent form at five furlongs. There are one or two others at six that I would like. My Name Is Rio was only fifth here last time out, but was drawn on the wrong side of the course, and he raced on the far side, which was unfavoured. If Paul Mulrennan's learned from that, he will be capable of winning races off his handicap mark. He's got a mark of 89. He's very solid given these conditions, but he's a six furlong horse, and that's what puts me off him. Whereas Lexington Place is a five furlong horse through and through. I looked for something drawn high that I could fancy that would get the run of things, but Searchlight's drawn 12. He represents Kevin Ryan, who had a poor run of form but had a good day yesterday with two winners and a couple of placed horses as well. And I think the yard's coming to form, but Searchlight's got no turf form. His form's all on the all-weather. When he's been tried on turf recently, he's run badly. He was last but one in a big field at Ripon two starts ago. And it may be, he's only had a handful of runs on the surface, it may be that his poor runs on turf have been for reasons other than the fact that he hasn't handled the surface, but you couldn't back him with any confidence at all. Ambitious Icarus has got decent form with Dig in the Ground at five furlongs, so if there was more rain, he'd be interesting, but he's never run well at Ayr before. Rob Hornby rides for Richard Guest. I like that combination. They had a big price winner on Saturday. And Rob Hornby is possibly now the best £5 claimer in the country, now that Sammy Jo Bell has lost her claim. I think Rob's improved an awful lot. So he's one to bear in mind, but his lack of form at this course is slightly off-putting. And then Linda Perrott has got a couple, as she almost always does in air handicaps, but the Perrott form has dropped off again after a purple patch of sorts. So I'm really struggling for horses to fancy in this. Pearl Blue is a distance winner, and she was well backed for a competitive handicap at Epsom on Derby Day, but was disappointing there. She could bounce back, but again, she's looked a little bit short of pace at five furlongs in recent starts and might be better suited by six these days. So once again, you're looking at lots of negatives for horses here and trying to find something. So the first thing I thought when I looked at the race was, oh, Lexington Place can't win from stall one. But then the more I looked at the race, the more I tried to find angles into it, I thought, actually, you end up coming back to him because he doesn't really mind where he's drawn given his run style. And I'm sure Jimmy Sullivan will be aware of where he wants to be, having ridden at the track the day before as well. So he will track the early pace and finish strongly. And as long as the ground isn't too soft in the day, he's the one to beat, just a case of what kind of price you get about him.
Okay, fair enough then. Lexington Place in that 505 at Ayr. We'll go to Windsor then for their 725. This one is a five furlong handicap. 10 of them line up for this class four, and I'm reliably informed by yourself, Roy. This is the Dora Franklin 100th birthday handicap. She celebrates her 100th birthday at Royal Ascot. She's one of William Hill's oldest customers and, according to the article I just read, has placed a bet with the company pretty much every day since it began in 1934.
That's pretty impressive.
So, yeah, that's pretty. She's older than the company and has placed a bet pretty much every day. So a lovely touch from Windsor that she's got a race named in her honour.
Yeah, and this is probably her kind of race as well.
Yeah.
Competitive sprint handicap. Plenty of these have got chances. Gold Flash is very interesting for Rafe Beckett and Pat Dobbs. I think he's the only three-year-old in the lineup. He says, quickly scanning down to see if there's another one in there. Thoroughly Unexposed. Lady Killer.
Lady Killer
is also in there. One on debut at Kempton, ran very respectably at Doncaster first time out this season, and then was disappointing in a handicap at Leicester last time out. But that couldn't have been his true running. And off a pound lower mark, off the mark he was placed off at Doncaster, and with more improvement in him, from a yard that does very well with 3-year-old handicappers, he has to be on the short list. So he's one I would respect. I'm not going to go for him though. I'm going to go for one that's done me a couple of good turns over the years and tends to come good when he gets conditions in his favour. And I think he does have those conditions in his favour here. That's David Ellsworth's Burning Thread. He's not hit form for David Ellsworth yet. He was with Tim Etherington last season. He won this time last year at Ayr. He wants fast ground and he wants a flat track and he wants 5 furlongs. And he's not had all those conditions this season. He's either had the wrong kind of track or he's had the wrong kind of conditions. And he showed a fair bit more at Newmarket last time, over 6 furlongs, which he doesn't stay. He just led that day and didn't get home, but looked like he'd come back to form. So the drop back to 5 furlongs will suit him. He wears his usual blinkers. John Egan takes over. He's drawn in stall one, which I'm hoping is more of a blessing than a curse. But given that he's now dropped to a workable mark, he started off a mark of 89 for David Ellsworth. And as I said, he's shaped as if he retains all his ability. He just hasn't had conditions in his favour. And as a result of a few runs down the field, he's dropped to 84. That's a workable mark for him. He's got a bit of class at this level, and I'm hoping he bounces back to form and wins for David Ellsworth.
Okay, then the top weight in that wins a handicap, then burning thread for Rory. We'll go to Ripon for the final race on the podcast. This is their 805 to 6 furlong handicap. 8 of them take their chance in this one. Who's caught the eye?
This is a tough one as well, because there's a horse I really like in the race, but you've got to forgive a bad run from him last time out, and that's Classic Win, Sai Bin Sarur's runner. He won a maiden at Leicester on his debut, and I thought that was really good form. He put up a very good time, beat a horse called Accra Beach, who was highly regarded as a 2-year-old. I think most people's reaction to that race was that Accra Beach was becoming disappointing, but he then bolted up on his next start at Windsor to show that the form was solid. Classic Win then ran at Sandown in a competitive 7-furlong handicap, for which he went off favourite, but nothing went right for him in the race, and he ended up only finishing 6th. Now, that's thrown up a host of winners since. It was won by a horse called Grand Inquisitor of Sir Michael Stouts, who looks one to keep on side. But Go Dan Go, he finished 3rd, won yesterday at Carlisle, and won well. Denzel Lane, who was 7th for Mark Johnson, has won impressively since. Flashfire for Charlie Appleby, only finished 9th and won next time out as well. So the form has worked out very well. Classic Win was reported to have lost his action and also apparently suffered a breathing problem. So I'm hoping whatever went wrong has been corrected since that, because the way he won on debut suggested that he was a lot better than his initial handicap mark. So he disappointed off that mark, 86. At Sandown over 7 furlongs, but everything went wrong, including the way he was ridden in the race. He drops back to 6 again, the trip over which he won at Windsor, and he might just prove best on a straight track as well. Obviously, he won at Leicester's undulating 6 furlongs, but up the straight course on first time out. He was then trying to go around a bend at Sandown and didn't seem to handle that. It was never on an even keel, but back on a straight track, undulating again, Ripon. We know that suits him. I think he's capable of bouncing back to form and showing himself to be very well handicapped at the second time of asking.
Okay, fair enough then. If you just remind us, please, of your 4 selections for Monday's racing.
In the 250 at Worcester, I'm with Marie Desange. The 505 at Ayr, I expect Lexington Place to bring up his 4-timer. The 725 at Windsor, I fancy the top weight Burning Thread. And then in the 805 at Ripon, I'm with Classic Win.
Okay, excellent stuff. There are the thoughts of Rory Delaghi ahead of Monday's racing. You'll hear every race live from 1:55 p.m. with us here at William Hill Radio. Ayr, Worcester, Windsor, Ripon and Roscommon on the agenda. Sean Quinn, John Babb and Andy Holding will be your team in the studio. So do join the guys for all of that. Thanks very much, Rory.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.